There's an ancient parable that is found in many religious traditions, including Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity. It's called the Allegory of the Long Spoons, and it describes what heaven and hell are like. In hell, all the people are gathered around a beautifully laden table with steaming pots of delicious stew placed down the center, more than enough for everyone. The people are ravenous, but the only utensils they have with which to eat are 3-foot-long spoons that, of course, when they hold them in their hand, they can't feed themselves. So they go hungry, eternally dissatisfied and frustrated. In heaven, all the people are gathered around the same beautiful table, mouths watering for the same delicious stew. They also have 3-foot-long spoons, but they notice quickly that the diners opposite them are about 3 feet away. So each feeds the other, eternally satisfied and grateful. In this parable, misery is connected to the unshakable assumption that I am on my own, that if I cannot meet my own needs, I am doomed. Joy, on the other hand, is connected to the awareness of others' needs and gifts. I may not be fully self-sufficient, but that's okay, because I am not alone. You see, heaven and hell are filled with the same people in the same situation, but they see it and respond to it completely differently. When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world, he sat down at table with his friends, loving them until the end. The gospel tells us that knowing he had come from God and was going to God, he got up from the table, took off his protective outer garment, and assumed the role of servant, kneeling on the floor at the disciples' feet and washing them. Tonight, we remember the disciples' surprise and discomfort at this reversal of power and authority, and how they puzzle over the connection of humble service to this new command of loving each other. You get the sense that some of them are still expecting a vanquishing Messiah, someone who topples oppressive power and rights wrongs with one fell swoop. But instead, the Son of Man asks them to embrace lowly service, what some of the disciples might regard as inconsequential or even beneath them. But Jesus asks them to embrace this service in the name of love. And so on this last evening together, Jesus reorients his disciples from focusing on him to attending to each other. Their identity now springs from their Lord's commandment: love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, because you love one another. And that love includes the humble service of caring for each other's needs and gifts. After Jesus is gone, they may be vulnerable as individuals, but that is not fearsome, because they are a community, They are not alone. In the last year, many people have found their understanding of selfless service taken to a deeper level. I'm thinking of healthcare workers, caregivers, and respiratory therapists and janitors alike who showed up day after day providing for the sick, not knowing the timeline for relief. And parents who overnight became the all-in-one wage earner and teacher and spouse and cook and cleaner and spiritual guide for their families. Black, Indigenous, and people of color who persistently held the spotlight on injustices in our country, even as it redoubled their own pain. Folks who live alone, cut off from their sustaining network of friends and colleagues, who still reached out to others to make sure they were okay. People who lost their jobs and combined households to make ends meet. I imagine that almost everyone here, listening, our neighbors, almost everyone probably has a story of digging deep in the last year to meet the needs of other people. This is the embodiment of the agape love that Jesus makes holy and commands us to embrace. It's not romantic or sentimental. It's costly and it's demanding. It costs energy and patience and forbearance and solid grounding in the knowledge that one comes from God and one is going to God. And it demands we hold our gifts in common, not only for ourselves, but for the benefit of our community and even those outside of our community. We hold them lightly. And this kind of love demands that we share ourselves, our wisdom, and our time with one another, seeing each other for who we really are and letting go of the need to control each other. This agape love is not manufactured by us. It is not our creation. It flows from the love that God has been pouring out on humanity and creation from the very beginning and is right now. And this kind of love is absolutely essential for easing our world into its next incarnation. One of the facts of the pandemic is that we can't really know the truth about each other's lives. There is deep weariness and struggle and sadness that can be unnoticed when we are so distanced from each other. And that, as we begin to gather again, may finally have a chance for expression and holding with someone else. And this is where agape love will be needed and is needed right now. This kind of love is costly and it is demanding, but it is the balm of healing and reconciliation and new life. So as we turn to the liturgy of the washing of the feet, which is our embodiment ritual of that selfless love that Jesus commanded us to share and showed us how to live, as we turn to that, whether you are at home washing your own feet or those of your household, or whether you are here in the nave witnessing this ancient tradition, remember that you have come from God and you are going to God. And as you kneel in front of your loved one, as you feel the water on your feet, as you watch and listen and remember your own experience of this holy ritual, know that God's selfless love pours over you, strengthening you and energizing you to love others as Jesus has loved us. Amen.